Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Everybody,
yo, Holocult, what's up? What is up? Hope everybody had a good week. Now that we are back here in the night shift, hope y'all got some weirdness to share with us.
Yeah.
So what's new, Kyle?
Not a whole lot. One of the first topics that I'm interested in is that picture you sent me the other day, and then I posted it to Instagram, and it had to do with the Black Pyramid.
Oh yeah, I just stumbled upon that on Twitter. I follow a lot of the guys on UFO Twitter, and let me see if I can pull it up for those that have not seen it yet. We can share it and chat a little bit about it.
Yeah, because it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's right here. It's from the book, The UFO Rabbit Hole, book one by Kelly Chase. It's just a little quote someone posted on Twitter from the book. It says, there's something about the UFO phenomenon that is deeply tied to consciousness. Perhaps humans are much more powerful than we ever imagined. Perhaps we've forgotten who we are. And maybe there are beings who will do anything to prevent us from remembering. DeLong says an advisor told him that there's a Black Pyramid underground in Alaska. They discovered it when anomalous measurements showed up during an earthquake. It's twice the size of the Pyramid of Giza, and they've been studying it for years. Quote, we finally figured out what it is, DeLong's advisors told him, and it's suppressing human consciousness. That was it. I know, was the Black Pyramid a Patreon episode?
I don't think so. No, I think it was
Was it a real episode? I could not remember.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was an everybody episode.
Think of the consequences that has if that's real and it is suppressing human consciousness.
It is bizarre.
It's
like you can't even like begin to fathom like the repercussions. Like I was telling you the other day, I was like, we think things are weird now. Imagine if that's true and then we shut those things off.
Oh, imagine yeah.
How weird it's going to get then.
I was, because I've always kind of been in the camp that our human consciousness is kind of a defense mechanism against all these things. I never really thought about it suppressing our abilities also.
I hope I turn into Wolverine or Magneto, one or the other. Those are my two favorites. So
why wouldn't you?
God, imagine how oxymoron it would be to turn into Wolverine Magneto, the combo.
Your claws would just stick to yourself.
That'd be so bad.
It's I wish I might even actually try to find the book to read up more on it.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a part of a book. I thought it was like some new development or something of that nature. And then you just sent it to me and I'm like, oh shit, you know, pretty decent timing because we just had released Black Pyramid not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think it was in December sometime.
Yep, it would be really interesting to see where that goes. I wish I had more info on it, but it, like I said, I follow a lot of people from UFO Twitter and it just kind of pops up as I go. Whenever I see something interesting, I'll save it or I'll screenshot it and send it to Kyle.
It caught my attention because like I said, the more you look into all the weird stuff, the more you dive deep, the more you pay attention. Like, because even the, what was it? The CEO of Randonautica was saying how, you know, he kind of laughed it off, but he said that he dabbles in the occult, and it's because they're figuring out how to basically tap into the consciousness, the human consciousness. Like there's this, like it's almost like Wi-Fi or something. Like it's out there floating around, and that's kind of the basis of Randonautica. Apparently, like they are somehow figuring out how to tap into these things.
Wouldn't that be wild if they did manage to do that? I've messed around with Randonautica a little bit, but never like a whole lot. It always tried to get me to go into like private property and shit like that. So
really, I never did do it.
Shot in the backwoods of Illinois.
Yeah.
What else do we talk about on here? My little brother had an update on some of his stuff. He texted me bright and early this morning. And if you don't know, he's been having some weird things go on. I talked about it the last show and whatnot, but I will share the update with everyone here. So he messaged me and he said, last night, update. I shut everything off and I went to bed into the bathroom and went to lay down. I remembered that I'd left my sweatpants on the recliner. So I went back out to the living room and sure enough, the light on our scale was on again. He said it was the only thing that was lit up in the living room. He didn't think too much about it because his dogs were still out. He hadn't kindled them yet. So we put him in and he just went to bed. This morning he gets up and his television is on. He sent me a picture where he left the remote on top of his dinner table. And he was like, it was on top of the kitchen table. The dogs would have probably, it was on top of a puzzle too. He does jigsaw puzzles in his spare time since he wheel grinded his leg off. He has the remote on top. He set the remote on top of the puzzle. So he's like, if the dogs would have messed with it, they definitely would have knocked the jigsaw puzzle off.
Right.
So things are still going weird with him. Just the little oddities.
It's weird. Outside of what the person told us, I mean, I don't understand why things would be messing with him.
I don't know. And it's nothing that, I mean, it's been going on for a while now. I don't know if he's in here, but I can't remember how long he's been having this weird stuff take place.
Right.
But it's been a hot minute.
I don't know. It's weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I hope that, like the person that we talked to last time, I hope it's not true. You know, I hope that they aren't trying to get to him because it can't get to you.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing when they brought that up. It's definitely an interesting concept. And on that note, I was thinking, as far as delving back into this whole egress thing, we've got some new leads and some new information and stuff, so it could be getting strange again before too long.
Maybe.
When we talked the other day, like, normally I'm very skeptical, but I am very interested.
Yeah.
In what they have to say.
Yeah.
In what we've got a fellow podcaster that might be drawn into the mix a little bit, who tends to lend some credibility to our source here. So once we get everything planned out and mapped out, we'll probably do an egress recap video and then probably start hunting down these new leads.
Yeah. Like I said, I have the interview with that person scheduled. So that's going to be coming out in the near future for everybody. This person did give us some preferred watching material to look into, to watch prior to our interview with them. Actually, I'll try to pull it up real quick. That way everybody can watch it. And everybody will be informed.
God, is this the other podcaster? Or is this the anonymous source?
The other podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the anonymous source.
I was wondering, I'm very curious to talk.
Third Eye Spies.
Very curious to talk to the other podcaster and get his take. I've listened to him for a while now. He seems very well versed and very intelligent. So
yeah, he wants us to watch that Third Eye Spies. He said, "Don't take it as literal, but run it in parallel. It's parallel." So I'm interested to watch it and then sit down and dig more into the whole situation of it. You know, from what I hear, it's going to be a really good conversation regardless of the topics that get chosen.
Yeah.
But it is kind of ironic that this is what's bringing us together.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, it was almost, here I go again with the stupid synchronicity word, but I had left a comment on, or left a review on his podcast page. And I was like, "Hey, someone at the Dogman Conference recommended you to us. Been checking you out. Love your content. Audio's great. Guests are great." I said, we should collab up soon. And then as he was reaching out, this whole thing came full circle. And it's, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's going to work out. So I think it'll be a great conversation.
Yeah, it definitely makes me want to recap the whole thing, because I'm not even sure if he knows the whole story.
I don't know either. We don't know what this, you know, what he knows.
Yeah.
We're going to find out though. So, and we've been getting some pretty interesting emails of late, you know, in regards to possible interviews and stuff. So some of these might get pretty wild and fun.
Yeah, everything's been popping off like crazy.
It has been weird. Weirdly active here in the past month. You know, when we hear that we're somehow being suppressed and then all of a sudden you just get loaded with emails and stuff like that. It's bizarre.
It really is. I'm very curious to see what the source has to say, how it all ties together.
Yeah.
And especially have a conversation with this other podcaster, which, yeah, as Kyle said, should be in a few weeks. And I'm curious to hear their take on it, because it kind of sounds like they're all in on it as well. Like,
for sure,
this is something probably well bigger than we are, and also probably not good.
Well, they're gonna catch that smoke.
Every time we say that, something bad happens.
I know. Well, I might as well just throw it out there.
Speaking of catching that smoke.
So what's up with this new number?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everyone in the chat. Now, before I say it, I don't know what, I know it's not tied to Egress, all right? Pretty sure it's probably an ARG, but I was stumbling through the mystery forum on Reddit and someone popped this number up. Said they found this number on a Reddit meme and it says, it sounds like a person dying, blah, 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 blah. So people started calling it. Well, after they called it, the number is supposed to call back and then leave another like random audio message that's supposed to have a string of numbers. It almost seems like it's a, I don't know, some coordinates or something. So I, not using the burner phone, just star 6-7'd it to listen to the message to make sure that it was like okay if we decide to call it. Mm-hmm. But it couldn't call me back because it blocked my number.
Right.
It's weird, classic ARG shit. Like it plays like a ice cream man tone in the background, and then you hear like some people yelling in the background, and it's about 2 minutes long. But I was like, Kyle, how about we just call it on the night shift if everybody wants us to call it?
I'm not opposed to it.
We use the live holo number to call it. Don't block it.
Why would I?
See if it calls us back, and then we can all chase the rabbit together. It's probably terrible. How does everybody feel about that? Are we all in allegiance here to call the mystery Reddit number because we all knew where that took us last time? Again, the weird thing is, it was on, like I said, it was on the R mystery Reddit forum. But yeah. Every time somebody posted it, it would get taken down. Someone would post it and it would get taken down.
So does anybody in the chat know about that? Does anybody know why like it would get taken down that fast, taken down period? You know, unless
outside of maybe posting someone's personal like a phone number.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Right.
But again, I don't know the credibility to it. It's in no way linked to Egress. I'm saying it's probably some ARG that's just going to end nowhere, but it also makes for good internet. So,
yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I don't care. I'll call it.
I'm going to shoot Kyle the number and he can play it live. Like I said,
text it to my personal phone.
It might be, there might be a trigger warning. I listen to it and there's like some screaming in the background. It sounds like it might be a gunshot, but I don't think so because it's super quiet. But the initial recording is about 2 minutes long. Again, I blocked my number, so it never called me back. But maybe it'll call us back, and we can see what happens. Because when I found it, as soon as I found it, I screenshot it. I'm like, okay, here we go. But they took it down since then. So I'm going to pop this to Kyle and see what happens. Let me look here. Here we go. Doing some nefarious stuff. Yeah, we do not have a super chat set up yet. We got some things in the works as far as legalities. And before we start,
what area code is that?
Any kind of monetization, we're going to work on that. 918, I think it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So that should be interesting. And
thank you.
I think that's it. So I guess we'll see if it decides to call us back.
All right, I just hung up on it.
All right.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, we shall see. Because again, I didn't leave my number, so like
ours is on there.
Blocked.
I didn't. It was the weird thing is it was still staying connected, like it wasn't ending.
Yeah, I listened for about 2 minutes, and after the silence, there was a little bit of silence for probably, I don't know, 7 to 10 seconds, and then it hung up.
Oh, okay.
So, hopefully, fingers crossed, it calls us back, and
we'll find out.
Because the people in the comments didn't say much about how long it took them to call back,
yeah,
or whatnot, but they did say it was leaving a string of numbers, and people were trying to decipher the numbers, and as I said, I'm sure it's probably an ARG, but I thought it was interesting. I saw someone mention in the chat that it was a spectrograph. So if anybody has the ability to pull the audio and put it in a spectrograph to see if it creates an image, I do not have that ability because I'm not good at stuff.
I didn't even know what a spectrograph was. So,
but it's a common ARG thing. People will hide images in the sound files.
That's so bizarre to me.
People are smart and using their smarts for dumb shit. So
that's facts.
Very interesting.
That's kind of the way
of the world.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm gonna be so bummed if they just don't call back at all. They're just like,
I know. I was kind of expecting like a
immediate response.
Yeah.
It better.
Hopefully it's not like Egress where it takes like hours.
It only calls on midnight. We've been trying to reach you about your extended warranty.
I hope that's what it is.
Oh, that'd be so terrible.
And they got the holo phone, so as long as that ain't bogging down my phone, then I think we'll be all right. Although I don't want it to bog down the holophone either. I guess I could always just block the number.
Probably just hack into the holophone.
All right. So while we wait for that, anything else weird?
I've been looking in and watching some YouTube videos on this AI advancements that they have been making here in the last couple months. Specifically the new AI chat prompt. I think it's chat GPT or something of that nature. Chat GPT. It's an app. It's like a chat bot, essentially, only infinitely more advanced than the ones that we are used to from when we were young. Essentially, this chat bot that they created, it's by AI1 or somebody. It's the same people who did the DALL-E video, like the image AI.
Right.
They also created a chat. And the way they did the chat is they had actual like humans set in and work on the predictive text of this chat. So it'd make it more and more human. And whenever they would get a conversation predictive chat correct, they would digitally reward it.
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
Yes, they would digitally reward it. And every interaction, it became more and more and more like talking to a human. So from what I can tell, they have not given it full access to the internet, just from the correspondence that it's had talking to people. So essentially, and they've made it to the point to where anybody can use it now. And it's gotten itself so smart, like you can go into this chat prompt and you can be like, hey, write me write me a script for a movie about such and such that will win an Academy Award or some shit like that. And it will prompt itself out this whole movie script. Or you can be like, write me a resume that will get me a job, and it'll write a resume out. You can say, all right, compound this into email size, and it will change it into an email. Be like, okay, make it into a text message, and it'll make it into a text message. You could say, make it into a tweet, and it'll do the same thing. And as it's sat and kind of learned and picked up human interactions and stuff, it's just gotten better and better and better and better. So the video that I was watching talks essentially about like where this will lead and where it will culminate. And whenever
it's going to go to Skynet.
Yeah. Because it's weird. Whenever you first thought about AI and robots taking over, you always thought they were going to come after the like lower skilled blue collar jobs, right? Like, oh, they're automated the grocery teller or
teller or whatever. Yeah, that makes sense.
But in actuality, it's more functional toward these creative, higher-end, white-collar jobs. I read an article where this person was a digital creator for a company. And unbeknownst to him, his boss, or her boss, I can't remember, had been feeding AI all of the digital images that this artist was creating, essentially creating a prompt to where the AI could make the same quality type of art,
right,
that this person was making. And they got rid of that person because the AI did it for free.
Yeah, I heard about this.
And they said it could
talk about it on Rogan.
Yeah, that's where I saw a little 10-minute clip of Rogan, and it got me diving into that. And I'm like, holy shit. Because they said essentially, because now you have AI that can create images, right?
Right.
And you have AI that can create speech and sound.
Right.
So they said this could go across the entire board. They said in 5 to 10 years time, all movies could be AI. All music could be AI. They said you could podcasts could be AI, could be written and speeched out by not people but robots. I saw this thing that they did. Google had an AI prompt that was so lifelike that they didn't even release the study on this that they were doing it. It just kind of came out, and it was 4 years ago, so almost half a decade ago. It was so human-like in its speech and its mannerisms that they would call and book appointments with actual people, and the people did not know that they were talking to a robot or talking to an AI.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it would react to the person's mannerisms. Like if the person said, oh, hold on a second, they'd be like, okay. Like you couldn't tell the difference between the AI and the human talking.
Well, and that's what I was going to get at. When you're telling me this, it makes sense, like in the grand scale, instead of, like you were saying, instead of having AI take over warehouse jobs, especially if AI became self-aware, it would almost be, in a way, more beneficial if AI never actually took a solid state form. If AI just stayed fluid, we'll say fluid, where it could basically... anybody that has an internet connection or a telephone, AI then could influence that person in any way, shape, or form. You know, it can create images to influence people into certain directions. You could get and you hit it, because I was going to go there before you even said it, but you said it. AI could learn speech patterns, mannerisms, words, the whole nine, and then just give you a phone call.
Yeah.
And then
they already have.
Kyle, your neighbor down the street has been plotting against you. They've been throwing shit in your backyard, or whatever the case may be. You know, the possibilities are endless. And then on top of that, you get more nefarious with it. AI, what's everybody's currency going to? It's all going to digital. So yeah. AI could essentially hold the world hostage if it became self-aware and became malicious, or it doesn't even have to be malicious. It could be, it could just become ambitious. You know yep. what I mean? Like all it has to, and we are, you know, we are a species that is very carrot on the stick motivated. You know, we like having those goals hung out in front of us that we're always chasing. And that's all yep. it takes to outside of that. And then blackmail, I mean, oh my Lord, imagine the possibilities there.
Oh, they said they've already got AI. Like people are using this to, they're like, oh, I want to lose this much weight. Create me a diet plan. Here's what I eat. Here's the calories I take in. So essentially dietitians are non-existent anymore because they put this information into the this AI prompt and it gives them an exact layout of this is what you need to do.
Right.
And the entire time it just keeps consuming human interaction, mimicking human interaction and taking it in and understanding, oh, this is what I'm supposed to say here. This is what I'm supposed to say next. And it's getting to the point where they can't tell the difference. Well, it will get to the point yeah. where you can't tell the difference between if you're talking to a person or if you're talking to AI. They said, like, take sales, for example. You have one person who's been in sales for 20 years, and he's finally at the top of his sales market. You have an AI that can compound all sales experience from all people forever that will surpass him in a matter of minutes, as opposed to how they go in and seal a sale. And they said it'll eventually get to the point to where when people call to make a sale, that they would rather talk to the AI because they know that it's going to be the best of the best that was ever there, as opposed to talking to a human person.
Yeah, I mean, well, even just sitting here, I know that AI itself, like the idea of AI, it'll forever be a double-edged sword, right? Because AI could do so many wonderful things. You know, even essentially robots could do so many amazing things. But they could also do really, really, really bad things. So it's always a double-edged sword when you talk about AI and the robots and all that jazz. It's always going to be a double-edged sword because you never know, like, how many stories have you heard where, you know, AI becomes self-aware and then it's like, well, I mean, there is one problem with the planet. I mean, and it's you. We have to now eliminate all problems.
Ultron them.
Right.
Because they said eventually it will reach super intelligence where it is more knowledgeable than all of the humans and their thought process that have ever existed. It will surpass that. It will be smarter than every person that ever existed.
And with the internet, with the internet, it wouldn't take long.
No,
it wouldn't take long to learn everything, every single thing.
They said it will eventually reach a point to where, you can say it becomes sentient or it becomes self-thinking or whatever. But humans will just stop mattering. They said they won't refer to us. They said they probably won't kill us off because they won't need to. We won't be a threat to them. They said it's kind of like us with ants. If we decide to build a road and we have to destroy a few million anthills, we do it. We don't think about it.
Right.
He said that's where the AI will be. If they're that's moving so further terrifying. And moving forward, they said they probably wouldn't think twice to smash a few anthills that are humans, you know, because there's already AI that has got to the point to where it's killed people, you know, the self-driving cars and shit have killed people.
Right.
It's already hit that point. We just kind of write it off like, oh, it's just
right.
It's part of the cause, you know, it's just part of the test. He also made some strange comparisons here. If I find the YouTube video, I will definitely shout him out or share him on the socials, but I can't think of it right now. I'm not gonna look it up. He talked about the way we interact with humans romantically. He said, like, on dating apps now, you can get these prompts to you type in your likes and everything to hold an entire conversation with another person up to the point to where it can match the tone of your voice and make the first call you have between another person not even be you. And then he went it one step further to where if you take the Tesla bots that are out now that Elon's been working on, take it 10 generations into the future And it might be to the point where you can't even tell the difference between a Tesla bot and a human. Except that with a Tesla bot, you have essentially something that agrees with everything you say, listens to all your quirky, dumb shit you talk about, tells you all the things you want to hear. Essentially, it's going to be easier to be in a relationship with an AI than it is to be in relationships and correspondence with other humans.
Right.
So where does that leave the world?
Well, I mean, if you keep going down that road, it would obviously suggest the downfall to the human race. But you know, the opposite will be just as true, where there will still be purists no matter what. There will always be, maybe you would essentially see like little colonies of people break off where they're like, no, we're not dealing with robots. Get out of here.
We're going to live on this island.
Right. You know, and since we're on this kind of subject, I've seen, I don't know if it was on Instagram or YouTube or wherever it was, but did you see where, and you could correct me if I'm wrong. I could be 100% wrong when I say this, but I think it was the writer or whomever for The Matrix and Terminator. Like The Matrix was supposed to be a prelude to Terminator or vice versa. Like they're actually supposed to be connected. Has anybody seen that in the chat? Because I know that I'm not crazy. I've seen it several times where there's a woman talking and I can't remember which direction it was, but we'll just say that Terminator preludes Matrix. And like, you know, this one came first. And then maybe the robots actually end up enslaving mankind and then putting them into the Matrix and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I just thought was, if that's true, that is terrifying, because imagine that thought complex, like how complex her thought process was to write all that. Like that's really in-depth thinking. And so much so that people in today's world like legitimately believe that we live in the Matrix. You know what I mean? Like there are people out there that are 100% convinced.
Oh yeah.
We live in the Matrix.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, the implications are so, I don't want to say severe, because I think it'd get to the point where it would just continue to move forward and leave us to where we are. If we don't work with it and go, it's nothing to them. It's nothing to them at all. You made another point about UFOs and aliens. To go way out on reach here. He said, when we were exploring the universe, what's the first thing we send out? What's the first thing we send to Mars?
Robot probes, rovers, basically.
Rovers, yeah. Probes. He said, so if an alien civilization so far advanced, so far more advanced than us, were going to see what was going on, what would they send?
Robots.
Robots and AI. And he said, they would probably look exactly like humans. And when he said that, I thought about those cases that we had talked about where, like the one in France where the guy got hit by the car and the police officer went to help him. The dude's head unscrewed off.
I love it.
And it was full of wires and tubes.
I love it.
And when the coroner did the...
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, when the coroner checked him out afterwards, he said his whole inside was just full of robot parts. Like there were multiple people confirming this story. So as he said that, I was connecting him. I'm like, oh, no.
That's insane. I love that thought. I love that thought so much, because that's, A, it's nerdy, which I love, and B, you're right. I mean, if because that is such a highly intelligent, like, spy craft shit. Like, oh, let's just make something that looks exactly like them, sounds exactly like them, acts exactly like them, and we'll just put them here. They'll do all the investigating for us while quote unquote blending in, and we'll get all the information we need without ever, you know, safely. We won't have to risk anything, and we'll just be able to allow them to exist within their society, and they'll never know the difference because they're dumb.
Yeah, they would just, like, to us, they would be NPCs. We would have never known the difference had that guy not accidentally got hit by the car
right
at that intersection in France. He also talked about how like fragile humans are. He's like, we're just skin and bone and meat. He's like, so in the natural progression, evolution of things, you would think that we would move toward essentially AI and robots because they're stronger. Yeah. They don't need sleep. They don't need food. They're essentially just better. And then we are making them even more better. We're making them more human-like as we go.
We're already going there. We're already going that direction, you know, because Elon's, what do they call that? Neuralink or whatever. They're wanting to put that shit in people's heads. And which once again is a double-edged sword because that could totally, that would 100% change people's lives for the better. You know, people who've been injured or born a certain way, like it is able to do fantastic things, but it's that whole scale system where it's like, you know, there's greatness that could be had with this, but at the same time, there's a lot of nefarious, devastating things you could do with the same technology.
Yeah. They're also saying that Elon is pushing Neuralink so much is that he's trying to get ahead of like the dominant AI takeover by having the human,
what the fuck, the
human capability still tied in. You know, you might have a Neuralink, but you're still human,
right? So you'll still have that decision, that consciousness, like the whole right and wrong, like that, like the right and wrong will still weigh on the normal person, whereas AI will be indifferent. They just won't give a shit.
Almost like his thought process is the only way to combat against them. He says, like, because humans aren't going to do it. Humans aren't going to, they're not going to be able to. But if you have half and half, where you have all the proponents of a AI robot, but you still have the consciousness and decision making of a human, maybe that'll hold a candle to them.
This is a fantastic sci-fi movie writing itself.
That's sci-fi reality.
Like we are living in a sci-fi movie. I mean, I know we have for a minute, but this one's all on its own. You know, this is it's. But Elon himself he's got to be a robot or an alien.
Let me see.
That dude's crazy.
Yeah, Darth Squatcher says Elon is AI. I have been saying that since the Rogan interview when that dude is like he's computing his answers.
Oh yeah, you could totally sit there and watch him do that.
Yeah, I'm.
Cyberpunk, that's a good one.
It is like because after I heard that little snippet on Rogan, I just watched the YouTube where they play little clips.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh shit. Because, I mean, and who knows, 5 or 10 years, all of our movies, all of our music, all of our media, they said it could even just, this prompt could take in, say, the top 1 million Instagram posts of the last year, and then create Instagram posts that are similar and better that will reach infinitely more people about whatever it wants to create.
It's terrifying. Said
essentially, it could create a personality that posts these things and build a personality around being the most popular social media mogul or social media icon out there, just by taking in the thoughts and ideas of all the other top human social media influencers, and it could essentially create a super influencer.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know. It's terrifying. And I just got caught on Twisted's comment here. At least mumble rap will be gone. No, it'll just be perfected. Is what will happen. It'll be perfected. It will be
infinitely better to where all humans enjoy it. Talk about a terrifying world.
But we were sitting there that one. Weren't we sitting there that one day listening to AI metal? Wasn't that you and me?
I don't.
I'm pretty sure it was. You found some website or something where this dude had like sampled where AI was writing metal songs.
I think so. That might have been on YouTube, actually.
Yeah, whatever it was.
It's weird. It's weird. AI is terrifying. And Elon's been.
It wasn't great, but it was. You could tell that it was trying to grasp what it was doing.
Yeah. And that's what they said. They played some little snippets of AI that has not been like tweaked, talking like a human, and you could tell it wasn't human, but they said give it time, give it a year, it 2 years.
Yeah.
You mean the Antichrist super influencer?
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing. I don't know. It's a wild world, man.
It is. AI is terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Elon warned everybody to chill out on it. At first, I thought it was just because he wanted to capitalize on it and be the first to go. He just wasn't ready. But now the closer everybody else is getting, it's making it much worse.
Yeah. So what do you think? Open the lines, see what we got going on.
Well, the nefarious number didn't call us back, so that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Damn it, Reddit.
It is what it is.
You failed us again.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that. You failed us.
Kyle will go off the air and his phone's going to get blown up by some nefarious entity.
Probably it's what will happen. I don't care.
So
I really don't care much at this point.
What's the chat say? You want to open the lines or where are we at with this? Here, Holocult. Oh, man, all sorts of people in here. Appalachian Intelligence boys are in. What's up? What's up, my fellow satanic nerds?
This is what we do. This is what we do.
Holler fam.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's pop them. See what happens.
Yeah. If nobody calls, nobody calls. Last time we had one call.
Hopefully. Alphabet agency calls.
Sometimes I low key sit here and wonder if Egerson won't give us a call.
I saw Burton as we were kind of in it talking. He asked what we thought about Egerson being an AI entity, and we've had that brought up multiple times. That it is an AI essentially gathering information for the most part, which is weird because it was looking for people that suffered from, essentially could have been suffering from, very specific mental illnesses.
Yeah.
Which is a bizarre thing to be gathering information on.
Or not mental illnesses, you know, actually suffering from a type of phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, because it that's all subject of how you want to look at it, how it's, you know, it's all self-perceived really. But I remember when I looked into it and I was tearing apart what was in the flyover, and there are a lot of suggestive things to portals and stuff like that. It's weird. It's weird to say the least.
Yeah, it is. I don't know, man. We've had it, like I said, brought up multiple times. That it could be AI, that it seems like some sort of bizarre AI prompt that is collecting information, which, I mean, it wouldn't be that surprising, I guess.
No. Off topic here, but it kind of crossed my head. What are your thoughts on the dude that supposedly seen the giant at the top of the hill? Have you seen that video?
Yeah. The guy that ended up getting off.
Never mind. We'll talk about that in a minute. We have a caller.
Okay, copy that.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Oh, man. I'm nervous.
Don't be.
Oh, man. It's cool. It's cool. So you guys just brought up whether or not Egress is an AI entity and whether or not it might be looking for certain people with certain pathologies, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to this guy all freaking day because of a link off of your Facebook page, actually. But Jerry Marzinski. Yeah, Jerry Marzinski, and you guys need to get him on that show. Like, it is super interesting because what he's basically postulating is that all schizophrenic encounters are DMT possession, or not DMT possession, but demonic possessions, and that certain things might open you up to these possessions and whatnot. But man, I think you kind of nailed it on the head, because you know, if anything, they're looking for people who can interact with these entities and do so in such a way that they can kind of consciously do it and not get like fucked with in such a negative way, like these schizophrenics.
I 100% agree. I mean, I think that that's a fair possibility, and it makes sense, really, if you think about it. Because if let's pretend that that you're right, let's pretend they're looking for a specific test subject. They're going to want people.
Hey, Holocult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means? It's cryptid hunting season, and the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That can brandish results. They're not going to want people. They're not going to want to cast this giant, large net and have all these people show up and then have to waste all this time rooting through whenever they could essentially come up with a very specific set of questions and cast it out there almost just like they did, kind of covertly, because they know a lot of people with these symptoms that aren't actually crazy. They keep it all close to their chest. You know, a lot of people don't talk about it because they're worried about the repercussions of it all.
Yeah. And something else that I've been wanting to get a hold of you guys and talk to you guys, and I'm starting to think that there's a correlation, a relation, even maybe a correlation to who's the dude with all the alien encounters. You guys kind of got real suspicious of him.
Bledsoe,
yeah. So it kind of reminds me of the same entities, but like I've had a near death experience, and it's actually like one of my earliest memories, because I was like 4 years old when it happened, and I don't necessarily think that like life is something that you choose to do. Like, you have to come here. It's like almost not that you're being punished, but it's like you're here and you're going to be here for the foreseeable future type of thing. And I think that the same entities that bring you back here are the same entities that are feeding on these schizophrenics, and the same entities that are interacting with our higher ups in the government. So I think that's what you're actually really dealing with, are people who are trying to figure out what this is, what this entire situation we're under really is. Because the way it looks like is that we're just like in this loose form, and they're just eating up our emotional trauma.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, go on. Oh, no. Go on.
I said I actually just read, I can't remember where I read it at, but that was exactly the statement they made, like almost like reincarnation, that we're put here to live and hurt and fear, and they just consume it only for us to die and then restart again, and for them to just keep consuming all of our emotions and our trauma and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. It's like they don't care what, you know, meat bag we're controlled in. You know what I mean? Just as long as they have something to feed on. So it's almost like if you were to be able to like continuously feed off of a food source forever, indefinitely, like you could eat an egg from a chicken every day, the egg's not going to give you as much nutrition as the old chicken will once the chicken dies. But it's almost like they could replant their chicken, let it grow for 8 months, so then bam, it's back out in the world planting them eggs every day.
Yeah.
And then we and then you know, as soon as we get born, you know, the doctor's like, oh, I guess we gotta slap it, make it start crying. Oh, that'll help it breathe. And then we're gonna, and if it's a male, we're gonna circumcise it. Which, you know, it's like, it just, we start off this world in trauma, and then we end in trauma, and it's just, it's crazy. Like, it's a heavy subject. Not a lot of people actually like want to talk about that, you know, but I do think that that's what Egress is doing, is finding people who can like, you know, fuck with the entities back or something. Like, they're just trying to get more information on that and what's going on, because I think that's really like the problem with everything, and like the reason why they took the apocryphal text out of the Bible. If you look at like the Gospel of Judas, or if you look at something that wasn't found until 1967, the Talmud Emmanuel. Dude, like, there's so much shit that we haven't been taught, and I'm sure there's way more in the Vatican, and I'm sure they know all about this, way more than they let on. And you know, like, I would venture to say that it's the same thing with the, like, you know, Carl Jung's theory on UFOs. So I think it's all one thing. It's all just wrapped up into itself, you know. It's pretty intense, honestly.
I agree. I didn't really think about Egress essentially trying to contact people that could battle back. But that is,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
I was going to say, so we just, you just possibly turned Egress into the good guys now.
I mean, but like, I don't know at the same time,
right?
But
right.
And also, who knows? Maybe they're working with bad guys, you know, that's and true. They're just trying to, they could be cooping up the people who are able to fight back. They could be incapacitating them somehow, putting them in a van and getting them on meds or whatever the hell might be the case.
Disappearing them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be why they went dark after everybody started knowing about them. And it's because, well, they're trying to disappear people.
Yeah, we definitely shone a lot of light on them by going on a bunch of large podcasts. So,
man,
yeah,
it also makes me wonder, because we ran the thought about there being a connection between Egress and consciousness. We did kind of overload them with consciousness.
Oh yeah.
When you think about it, like, we just hammered the piss out of them. Because I mean, I'm not saying that this is the case, but this is kind of where I am right now. Only because things have been going relatively smooth for me. But as a lot of people know, me and Steve were going through a bunch of shit not too long ago. Just terrible stuff. Lots of bad luck, health issues, whole nine. And I don't know, something in my gut was telling me to talk about it, even though we were advised kind of not to do that because it would feed the entity. It would make it stronger. But I just put it out there, and Steve kind of backed my play with it. He's like, we're not supposed to do this, but fuck it, let's roll. And so we threw that Hail Mary. Right. And we threw that Hail Mary, and you know, we put a call to arms out. You know, everybody out there, you know, send us your good intention, your goodwill. And dude, I'm not kidding you. Like, after we did that, a lot of the shit has stopped. At least for me. Like, I'm not experiencing anything anymore. Everything has kind of almost done 180. And so it kind of puts me in this unavoidable position where I have to believe that if everybody does focus their consciousness on something, it does tend to manifest itself. It does tend to have stake in it. Like, it's really bizarre to sit and think about, but I do believe that there are, that it happens. Like, I can't not feel that way now.
You know, and it makes me think, I can't help but think about how the media kind of does the opposite. Like, they fill us full of fear and hate towards people who might not capitulate towards that fear. And then they I don't know, it kind of does the opposite of what you guys were describing. It makes a totally negative experience, whereas things could be positive. Like, when things happen, you know, crises, we could pull together in a massive way. Like, when 9/11 happened, they couldn't help for to happen. Like, all the people just look at each other and be like, yeah, you're an American, and I'm gonna like pull you under my wing because we're in a time of need,
right?
And like, and I think that could be the solution towards everything, honestly. Like instead of having all these divisive points, you know, just above all, you know, make sure that at the end of the programming, we're just not full of fear at the end of it. Like, I mean that every time I walk into the living room in the morning and people are watching TV, and the news turns on, it's like seven headlines of nothing but just tragedy everywhere. And I don't care how far across the world they have to look for this tragedy, there's going to be some tragedy. So I don't know. And it's every freaking morning. And I think that's just all by design. For sure, design.
For sure. And well, I guarantee that. Go ahead, Steve.
If you've got entities pulling the strings that are bigger than us that feed on fear and trauma and anxiety, what better way to put it out there than to keep everybody scared and worried and just up in the air every time you turn on any form of media?
Right. Well, and I mean, to counter that, to sit there and counter that, I'll speak for myself here. I can't tell you, like, because you'll hear that phrase, like, what was it? It's just like negativity sells, drama sells, fear sells, tragedy. All of it. Tragedy sells, right? But I'll speak from experience here. I'll jump out on the limb. I can't tell you how many times I've been scrolling through my Instagram or YouTube or whatever, and I'll see a video of a soldier coming home and surprising his kid, and the kid freaks out and they're crying, they're hugging, or you see these ultra positive videos, and I get choked up. I'm like, oh man, that is so awesome. Like, I love seeing that. Like, that hits you in the feels, and you're like, damn, that's cool, you know? Like, so you can't sit here and tell me that the positivity side of it doesn't sell or doesn't resonate. Sell. Yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, I think that's why some movies do so well, like Avatar. You know, Avatar is shown you, it showed you this world where, like, you know, beings became, you know, incredibly intrinsically connected to the planet that they live on. And like, it just kind of called to that part of us that we're missing now. You know what I mean? But at the same time, incredibly positive. I guess there was some tragedy, you know, towards the end and whatnot. But, like, I think that's what really sold that movie, was the fact that there was so much that we were like, oh, man. Like, almost like we could look forward to that or something. You know what I mean? Like, or it's beckoning towards some ancestral tie towards that in the past that we had. Because all you know, cultures had it at one point, and then at some point, you know, civilization just took over, so to speak.
Right.
But yeah, man. You know, and before I get off, because I think, you know, the chat was almost at like 70 people all night. So I think there might be some more callers. I think, that Aaron Rodgers thing, did you see that? Aaron Rodgers apparently had an ayahuasca experience in 2020, and now he can't stop talking about how he's getting followed around by the Hat Man.
I did see that.
See that?
That's awesome. I don't think I saw that.
And it
okay.
Kind of circles back around to my thought on when you experiment outside of our human consciousness, you just open those doors to things that are trying to come through them.
And exactly. So here's the thing. Okay, so like the Hat Man is kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the pimp daddy when it comes to like shadow people, right? Like everybody knows who the Hat Man is now, you know? And I think the Hat Man knows that. And I think the Hat Man also knows that everybody knows who Aaron Rodgers is. Like, think about how many people go out and have an ayahuasca experience, and then they don't get stalked by Hat Man afterwards. You know?
They're using him.
Yeah, they're using him to spread the egregore. Because I think these are halfway manifested, or at least they get stronger when people are afraid of them or something. You know what I mean? So like egregores, maybe, you know, thought forms that manifest eventually. And I think Hatman fucking played a great card there, mister. And now look at me, I'm talking about him. And then more people are going to be talking about it. And then, you know what I mean? It's just going to be fucking viral afterwards.
God, he's going to be like the super shredder of shadow
it's
people.
Like the, it's a mimetic entity, a topaic entity. The more people that put stock and energy into him, the stronger they get.
Yeah, and then he's going to walk right through CERN.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, yeah, like I said, I think you got some more callers after me, because a lot of people are like, yes, open up the calls. but yeah, I love you guys, and you guys do great work, honestly. Like, I think you have inspired me to want to kind of do the same thing.
Awesome.
I don't know. I'm not as brave as you guys, honestly.
Yeah, you
take
are.
The plunge, honest. Man. Take the plunge.
Yeah, you are. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. But well, thanks for calling
maybe I need
in, man.
Buy a mic.
You're for it, buddy.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got this.
For sure.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, stay safe and stay weird out there.
You too. Peace.
Bye. That was awesome.
And it did cross my mind that maybe Egress did have some sort of mimetic or tulpic aspects to it. When
and we already kept... got another one.
Okay, copy that.
Hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's good. How are you doing?
Awesome. What's up?
Hanging out at work.
Fun.
Yeah. No. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys speaking of ayahuasca and opening up doors, I had a UFO experience in September of 2019. I had a family member coming down, and he was bringing some Scooby snacks, and we were going to meet at my brother's house and have those, have an experience, and then stay the night and go home. So we all meet up, and I'll try to make this as fast as possible.
No worries.
Okay, we all meet up, and we have a little dose. And while we're waiting for it to kick in, he's a big UFO guy, this relative of the family. And I, you know, I'm ribbing him. I'm like, yeah, you believe in UFOs, huh? And he's like, yeah. As a matter of fact, he's like, yeah, sure do. I'm like, really? How many have you seen? He's like, I've seen a ton. And I guess he drives truck at night and he doesn't get off till morning. And he's telling me that when he does his deliveries, when he stops and they unload his truck, he just looks up and he's like, you can see them all the time. Sometimes they have lights. Sometimes they don't. If you just sit and you wait, you can see them come under the stars. They block out the stars. You can just kind of, you know, you pretty much have a grasp of what the nighttime stars look like. And he says you can just sit there and you can look up at the sky and you can see shapes come and block out the stars. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then a little while later, I'm sitting back and I'm like, oh, this is probably just a bunch of, you know, hooey, whatever. And I was thinking, you know, what are the odds of I'd see one today? Well, I'm catch something out of the corner of my eye out of the southwest, and it's coming up the valley, and I don't know. I'm not very good at distance, like height-wise, like, but it's like it would be like a plane coming in on approach, and that's what I thought it was at first. I catch a little silver dot out of the corner of my eye, and it's moving up the valley. And I'm sitting there and going, oh, well, it's a plane that's coming into the airport. And I'm like, well, I've never seen a plane come this way before. So it's coming straight, you know, like straight up the valley from south to north. And I'm sitting there and I'm like keeping an eye on it. We're having a conversation, hanging out, and I look back up and it's moving closer. And I'm like, that's weird. There's no Doppler effect. Like there's no jet engine. There's no prop engines. I'm like, maybe it's life flight, like a helicopter or something. And it's still moving. It's still moving slower and slower. You know, like at this constant speed, about, I don't know, 75 miles an hour, something like that. And it's getting closer and closer. I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing rotary blades either. I'm like, okay, this is weird. And it gets almost right over to the, like, above my brother's house. And I'm like, it's a Mylar balloon. It's one of those party balloons that you get, like, at the dollar store or whatever. Except there's no balloons, other balloons and string attached to it, like it was from a birthday party or whatever. And one of my nephews is like, hey, what are you looking at? And I point up and I'm like, I think I see a UFO. And they're like, what? And I look up and everybody looks up and I'm pointing right at it. And it's right above my brother's house. And it looks like a steel ball bearing, but really polished, like it's a drop of mercury just hanging in the air. And it's about the size of a pickup truck. Around, like if you put a pickup truck in a bubble, that's what it, how big it was, if from my guesstimation about height and where it was in the air. And everybody's like, oh my god, oh my god. It's right over to the top of my brother's house, and the sun is setting at the same time, and it comes over the top of the house and it hits, what is the word I'm looking for, it, there's a reflection, it blinks, and then it turns, it does it like a C turn, and then shoots straight up into the sky and disappears. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I just yell out, oh my god, I can't believe I just saw that. And the relative that came up to visit, he's like, I told you. And I'm like no way. And we spent the rest of the night, and he wasn't kidding me. If you just lay back and watch the stars, you can see strange shapes just block out the stars. And I'm like, aren't those just like satellites? He's like, no, that's too close. And I'm like, oh, okay. So a couple days later, I go and I visit my friend. And she's like, hey, what did you do this weekend? I'm like, just hung out over at my brother's house. And I think I saw a UFO. And I told her the story. She's like, hey, do you remember when we were going to the mall? And we were going up over the bridge and we saw that UFO? And I'm like, no. Well, I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't see it because I was driving. You know, I couldn't stick my head out the driver's side window and try to look for a UFO while I'm trying to drive over the overpass in traffic. There's no way. And she's like, yeah, we saw the same exact thing, and it did the same exact thing. And I was like, that is so weird. And on the first night shift, the guy with the alien.
Uh-oh.
Oh shoot! Did we lose him?
I think he might have accidentally hung up the phone.
Oh man, I was gonna ask him if he thought that he saw the UFO because he was like tuned in, like in tune with it. He went into that evening wanting to see one, and essentially opened himself up to see one.
We'll see if he calls back here. Yeah, I swear where I was at. And then, you know, he's talking about, oh, there he is. Hello.
Yo.
Hello. Sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, it's good.
Where was I?
You were talking about the other night shift, the first night shift, I believe.
Yeah, the first night shift, the guy describing about burying the alien in the backyard.
Yeah.
And seeing that same silver ball. I was like, holy cow. I'm like, what are the odds? So yeah, that's my weird UFO story. I enjoy the show, love what you guys do. I gotta get back to work. I will talk with you guys later.
All right, buddy. I appreciate
Copy
you.
That. Have a good night and be safe out there, man.
Yep, will do. Bye.
All right, bye.
See ya.
But yeah, like everybody would do it. Like when he's watching the UFO and you're explaining it away. You're like, that's a plane. That's a helicopter. That's this. That's that. And then here comes another call.
Just roll
so up. Here we go. Hello.
What's up?
What's going on?
Yo.
Is this Kyle?
Yes, it is.
What's that?
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on? Oh, man, sorry. I'm watching you. Okay, now I gotta go away from you.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching you on TV and it's messing with me. All right. You guys are seriously amazing. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I'm actually Schwa Diddy on Discord.
Okay.
Oh, what's up?
Not much, man. And Steve, you've warned me numerous times about going out in the woods, man. I'm still doing it, loving life. This one's for Colleen. She wanted me to talk about my Bigfoot story. So
let's do it.
Let's go.
Figured I'd call you guys up and let you know. It was a little bit later at night. We were having a fire out of the parents' house and I'm having some couple of beer and stuff and nothing crazy. Everybody was heading out and I just, my dog was acting weird. I was on the porch having a cigarette, making sure everybody was leaving and doing what they got to do. And she was acting really weird. She's a German Shepherd Collie mix. Pretty smart dog. She's no longer with me anymore, but she just kept whimpering, and it's not like her. And kind of where I could see on the property line was the light, and then it wasn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really nervous right now. I'm so pumped to be talking to y'all right now. Like, you're no idea.
You're good, man. You're good. Yeah.
No need to be nervous, my friend.
No.
Oh, man. So I'm sitting on the porch, having my cigarette, let the dog out. She ran out, did her thing, and then she stopped, froze. And I was like, hey, girl, what's up? She didn't even look at me. I'm like, hey, Sage, let's go. Come on. Time to go inside. You know, we're going to bed. And, she would not look at me. Like, I could not get this dog. And she's usually very attentive, very smart. She's just awesome dog. Could not get this dog to even look at me. And then, so I go outside and I'm looking. There's only like three trees. And you can see clear as day, like it was pretty moonlit from the backside. And I was just like, what the hell are you staring at? Like, seriously, what are you staring at? And then I look and I'm like, holy shit, there's a fucking bear standing there on the backside of this tree. You know, you kind of think of a silhouette of a bear standing behind a tree. And it didn't move. It didn't do nothing. It just sat there. I'm smoking on my cigarette, and then all of a sudden I'm watching it and it stays the same width. And it just kind of like stood up, and I'm like, okay, well, it was about 3 feet-ish off the ground, and it was kind of the width of a black bear-ish. And I'm up in Minnesota. We have black bear here, but it's not common where in the area I'm at. Well, you know, I can tell you it wasn't a bear because bears don't rise off the ground, you know, 7-8 feet. And it did the weirdest thing. I'm just staring at it like, what? No, okay, no, that's not. That can't happen. And then it like did its thing where it took its right arm and it like swung it behind it, kind of wrapped around the tree. And it just swung around the tree and looked at me. And I couldn't really see. It was backlit, so I couldn't really see like facial features or anything other than the sheer size of this thing. And it was either a Bigfoot or it was Andre the Giant wearing shoulder pads. I don't know. I can't definitively tell you that that's what it was, but like, I was smoking my cigarette and I was like in shock. I didn't know what to do. I didn't smell anything. I didn't see glowing red eyes. I didn't see orbs. I'm just telling you, this thing went from 3 feet wide and it stood up. And if a black bear were to stand up, it would get narrower. This thing maintained its width
And then I got to the point where I was like in shock, where I couldn't, my cigarette actually like burnt my lip. And then I realized, holy shit, my dog's at the house freaking the hell out, trying to get into the house. And I didn't think anything other than to run to the house after the dog and get in the house, close the door, shut everything off, and see what happens tomorrow.
I don't blame you there. No, on that.
For sure.
First off, sorry for the loss of your fur buddy there. So, second.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean, she's, yeah, it was, she was a great dog. It was a couple years ago, but it was definitely an experience, you know. And, you know, it's, I listen to all your guys' shows and stuff, and I listen to people's experiences, and I listen to Wes's show, and, you know, the confessionals and everything. And it's just like when you hear people talking with, when it comes, their kids or pets are involved, it's like they have that heightened sense of things. And I knew my dog wasn't lying to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I mean, it's, dude, I don't know. Like, and I, like, I grew up with guns. Like, my dad's former military. All my family's former military. Like, we just grew up that way. I guarantee you, if I had my phone in my pocket at that time, or even a gun on me, those would have been the last things I would have thought about ever.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the phenomenon, that people are so just in shock at what they're witnessing that they don't have the wherewithal to do anything else than just like being off what they're seeing.
Yeah.
No, it was one of those things, like literally like the cigarette burning my lip, because I didn't know what to do, like snapped me out of whatever trance I was in. And then I just remember looking at the house, and my dog was like freaking out to get in the house. And I, you know, I told my dad about it, and he's been on some former military bases and all that stuff, you know, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, there's things out there. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you just, it's like a thing. Like, there's things out there that, you know, you just got to be aware of when you go out in the woods.
Did it seem like it was trying to conceal itself behind the tree when it, like, almost like it noticed you looking at it?
You know, what happened, I don't know if, like, maybe it caught wind of me and the dog, or, like, it just was like, nah, I'm done chilling here for the night. I never got a sense of, like, I needed to run or it was evil. I just, like, more of like in shock, like what the hell is that? Because there's nothing out here. Everybody left. And I don't know, man. It was just a bizarre, I can't explain it. Like literally when people are like, what exactly did you see? I don't know. Like I can tell you that it was under the giant or Sasquatch. And I know Andre's gone, and the way my dog acted, it just wasn't, nothing was right about it.
I mean, that definitely checks out. You hear a lot of encounters where dogs will sense before humans see anything. So that is definitely in line. What else? I was thinking about Ghost Hunter Dave just went on Wes's show, Sasquatch Chronicles, and told his encounter that's about maybe five miles from where we're at right now. And he said when his Sasquatch stood up, he almost described it the same way you did, but it started swaying back and forth almost as if to make itself look bigger, which, I mean, didn't need to because it's gigantic. But I was just kind of curious as to whether you thought maybe it was trying to conceal itself behind the tree, or if it seemed like it was threatened in any way, or just how.
No, I don't think it was trying to conceal itself. I mean, its arms swung out. I mean, it wasn't moving in anything, but like, it didn't move. I mean, I saw its arm kind of like wrap around again the tree, and then kind of just swung back around and looked at me, and there it stayed. And like, I didn't get a horrified sense, like, you know, you hear stories of people like, oh, I got the sense of dread, And I never got that sense other than, what the fuck am I seeing?
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you, I mean, I snapped out of it, but I, like I said, there was no smell, there was no glowing eyes, just this big, massive, obviously thing on 2 feet. And I'm convinced personally that it was a Sasquatch. I've told this story to many people and I get a lot of shit for it, but when you know, like, it's not, I'm not making this up to be famous. I'm not going to get anything out of this. I think it's cool. I love what you guys do. And I love that people are sharing their stories and built my confidence up enough to talk about it more and definitely come on the air and talk to you guys tonight. And
well, that's forever appreciated, man. And I'm with
hell
you.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, oh, man.
Yeah. I'm with you 100% because there's been, I mean, I've told my personal stories and in the back of my head, I'm like, there's no way people are going to believe this shit. There's just no way, you know?
Yeah, right.
And yeah, but like you said it perfectly. It's like when you know, like, you know what you saw. Nobody else was there that night.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what you saw. And then,
I mean, my dog was there, but
right. Right.
She had the same reaction.
Yeah, I mean, she verified it. She verified it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, I mean.
And you have every reason to trust your dog. You guys have built that connection, you know. There's no reason for you not to trust her.
No, yeah. And there wasn't.
Yeah, and but, I know we say it a lot, but sometimes we catch a lot of flack for not for believing a lot more than people think we should. But as I've said a million times over, like, we are not there. We are not experiencing things. Right. We are not seeing things. We are not hearing the things. We're not smelling the things that everyone that's sharing their stories are. So who are we to sit here and, you know, try to downplay people's experiences?
No, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it just goes like with everybody has their own thing that they believe in, and whether it's crazy or not, I mean, you have your own beliefs. So, like, just be a good person, be open-minded, everything. I mean, my wife actually you guys just read one of her submissions a couple podcasts ago about the shadow people. That was Carly. That's my wife. And
awesome.
Like, I didn't know that until a couple years after we started dating. And then she told me that story after I told her, I don't even know how the hell we got on in that conversation, but Bigfoot, shadow people, and then I got my daughter who's talked about the Hat Man and all that shit. And it just, dude, there's so much shit that, like, take everything with a grain of salt, be honest, be a good person, listen to what people have to say, and just don't ridicule everyone, you know?
Right.
For sure. Words to live by.
So, all right, guys. Well, I definitely will be talking to you more on Discord and listening to all your shows, and to all the Holocult fam out there, I appreciate y'all, and you guys are just an awesome community. So,
hell yeah. Thank you awesome for calling in, man, and sharing your story, Diddy. We'll see you over on the Discord.
Sounds good, brother. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, we'll see you later.
Stay buddy. Safe out there.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Oh, that was awesome. I love it.
I hope to see... I just hope to see it one day. Just for my own peace of mind.
I think I would be like him, man. I really do. I think that if I were to see it, even silhouetted like he saw it, I don't think I would know what to do. I think I would just stand there and stare back at it and just be in awe.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I just really don't think I would know how to react to that.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head where he was just like in, like, trying to process what he was seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I mean, for the longest time you're told that this thing is not supposed to exist. It's not right. Supposed to be real. And yet here it is in front of you. Your eyes are seeing it, you're hearing it, your dog's reacting to it. Clearly something's there.
Right. And I mean, I know that his dog had an adverse reaction to it, But aside from that, you know, according to him, it gave no inkling that it was there to do him any harm. It was just kind of checking him out, more or less, right?
Almost like it got noticed, not planning on being noticed once the dog got wind of it.
Right.
Like, and it was so, just out there kicking it, doing squash things.
Right. And I mean, and to be fair, a lot of times you, like, I know on Instagram, people that send me reels and shit all the time. And a lot of them will be a Bigfoot. And you'll see Bigfoot doing this, these little, like, creep ass, like, where he's peeking at you through some branches. And, like, he's always trying to spy on you. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of, yeah, he's being a creeper. That's what he does. So a lot of times he's not trying, it seems like he's not trying to be malicious. He's just kind of out there. Yeah. Twisted. I mean, I was literally getting ready to say that, but you beat me to the punch. People watching.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he's just out there hanging out and seeing what's going on. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to approach a bunch of people anyways. No. Imagine you're out in the woods and you see a colony of big feets out there. You're just going to stroll into camp and be like, hey guys, what's up?
Like,
no, you're not going to do that.
I think if he spends his time like looking into people's windows and they're watching Bigfoot hunters and mountain monsters, and all the humans he sees looking for him are all carrying guns and shit. Right, so I probably wouldn't want to kick him with any people either.
I'm not trying to do this tonight. Nope. Staying away. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, facts. People are the worst.
I've been getting a lot of not deer stuff too.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people asking for us to cover that as well. I know we talked about it. Did we talk about it a little bit in the Patreon?
On one of them, I can't remember at this point. Yeah, man, but yeah, man. I know I don't think we've actually done. Oh, I covered a story. Remember, I covered a story of. It'd be the closest thing to not deer that I could remember, but it was like these hunters. I don't know. This guy was out there.
I do remember.
And there was like all them deer that fucked him up and dragged him off. Which
we've done so many between the normal show, Night Shift, and Patreon. We're probably pushing 250 shows. Like, I have to go back and look to see what we covered. People will ask us to cover something in the Discord. So I'll go like search the library. I'm like, yeah, we covered this like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I just
because I can't even remember at this point.
And I'll almost bet there'll be cases where we stumble back across a subject.
On purpose or on accident.
Yeah, it'll be what it is. But the thing is, the thing that makes it interesting, even if we did accident, it would be cool. I mean, maybe not for everybody else, but it would be cool to accidentally cover the same story that we did a long time ago. To see how much our thought process has changed since those times, because I find that stuff fascinating.
That would be cool.
Yeah, because I know that, like, I've always been into the weird, but the more that I do this, the more my thoughts evolve, the more I become open to things where I'm like, all right, maybe this isn't so woo woo after all.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe there is a lot more legitimacy to some of this shit than what I initially gave it credit for.
I'm there too. Like, I'm consistently learning as we go.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. And that's what I love. I mean, I've been reading like Dark Raft in there. You going off about numbers and shit. And I'm like, oh, golly, you guys are blowing my mind. Here I am. I'm just glancing over at the comments. Just, like, oh my lord, I don't know shit about you. Steve's the numbers guy. I don't do numbers. Numbers and me don't get along. I was
half trying to keep up, and I'm out of my element when it comes to numerology and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I just can't do it. But we're getting close to the time here.
Yeah.
At the old night shift.
Unfortunately,
we have to go to work tomorrow.
Like, I know, that's lanes. Terrible. I was so excited for tonight. Now it's passing. I'm like, gosh, dang it.
I know it was the chat was wild. I think we had the most people in here that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Every week it compounds. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But we'll probably call that a night, Holocult. Thanks for everybody that tuned in and hung out and chatted and called in.
Much appreciated.
It's great. It is becoming a highlight of my week, the night shift.
It is. It's awesome.
Getting to interact with everybody is so dope. Let's creep through the chat here a little bit. Burton said that he just hooked up with the AI guys and talked about some not deer.
That's awesome. So
definitely look for that.
That's awesome.
Again, thanks everybody for hanging out. Thanks for everybody from the Discord that came over and kicked it. I see a lot of names in here.
Oh, yeah.
As we always say, go through and support all of the independent content creators. Burton and Local Legends, the AI guys, Bigfoot Society's in here. I saw Alexis from The Great Unsolved. She's in here. She just started a new podcast called Infinite Intrigue. Talks about some weird stuff. Go and support awesome. all of the independent content creators.
Yeah.
We're all out here grinding. So until we meet again, Holocult, stay safe. Stay weird. And if you see the Hat Man, ask him if he knows Aaron Rodgers. Apparently he does.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.